Let's open our Bibles to a couple of scriptures this morning. Let's see how we can go through this message. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I need you to be in prayer and receive the word with much prayer and looking to the Lord this morning. Because we are dealing with a message that needs a tremendous amount of prayer. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of Jesus. The devil doesn't like being exposed. Hallelujah. And the word of God, when it goes forth in power, begins to set you free. Amen. Hallelujah. Some of you have been feeling like there's something holding you back from walking with God the way that you want to walk with God. Let me tell you, if you would listen to this message in prayer, you would find the hand of God coming upon you and setting you free, so you'd be free to walk with the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. I need all the help that I can in the Holy Spirit this morning. Let's open our Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. We have a lot of scriptures to read through this morning. We have been dealing with the message of the second coming of Jesus Christ. Amen. For the last couple of weeks. And last week we were sharing on the four stages of His coming. One, He comes to us. You remember that? Amen. That He did 2,000 years ago. He came to us. Amen. He came in the flesh. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah, came 2,000 years ago. He came in the flesh. He died on Calvary's cross. He was buried. On the third day, rose again, ascended into heaven. He's seated at the right hand of God the Father. He came to us. Amen. Amen. The second thing is, He comes in us. Amen. That is when you and me are born again. When you receive the word of God. When you hear the message of salvation, when you come to know that Jesus Christ is Lord and you need to turn to Him, you repent of your sin, you receive Jesus Christ and He comes to live inside of you. That is in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory, the Bible says. So He comes to us, that He did 2,000 years ago. He comes in us, then He comes for us. That's the second coming of Jesus. He comes for us. We read about that. Amen. He comes in the clouds. The same way He ascended into heaven, He comes in great glory. He comes with the trumpet call of God, with the shout of the archangel. He is coming one of these days in great glory. Amen. Amen. And He comes not for everyone, remember? We read from the word, He comes for people who are in Christ. Some Bible callers call it the secret meeting with God in the heavenlies. Hallelujah. That will be the day when Jesus comes. We dealt with the signs of His coming. When Jesus comes that day in the clouds, let me tell you, the believers, those who are in Christ, who have a relationship with Jesus, they are caught up to be with the Lord. And the Bible says in Matthew 24, it says that what to those people or to those women who will be carrying their young and who will little babies that day. You know what happens when Jesus comes? We mean it from the scripture, till you reach an age of accountability, you have a free entrance into the presence of God. So that would be the day when Jesus comes in great glory, that even the children in the womb of mothers will disappear. If the mother is not saved, the mother will be here, but the children in the womb will disappear to be with the Lord. Children everywhere would be lifted up to be with the Lord. Together with the body of Christ, the church. Amen. Amen. He comes for us. Amen. Amen. And then it says, the fourth stage, He comes with us. Now that is after a 7-year period in the heavens. We will deal with that from the scripture. After the church is taken up to heaven, then there is the marriage supper of the Lamb. Amen. Hallelujah. There is the wedding of Jesus Christ with His church. Amen. The celebration going on for 7 years. That will be the time when the Antichrist will be ruling here on earth. When He will be revealed in His fullness, the Antichrist. And that is the time when you find that, I told you last week, when the sword disappears, there is no war, or there is nothing in this place to preserve the society, all violence will break loose. When the light disappears, the church disappears, the light disappears. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. It will be complete darkness. People will be so confused. They don't know what to do, where to do, what to think about. See, even now there is so much of confusion in the world. Can you imagine when the church of Jesus Christ is taken away? Can you imagine that? Then it says, you are the lily among the thorns. When the lily goes up, the thorns remain. Now it will be a chaotic time on this earth when the church of Jesus Christ is taken up by the Holy Spirit, the rapture. Let me tell you, today we're going to deal with, last week I started on the message on the Antichrist, and the revelation of the Antichrist is the spirit of Antichrist, the mini Antichrist, and the Antichrist. You remember that? Amen. How many of you were here last Sunday? We were dealing with a message on the Antichrist from Scripture, on the spirit of Antichrist, which the Bible says in 1 John 4 is already in this earth. There's a spirit of Antichrist. Amen. That's why there is a widespread persecution against disciples of Jesus Christ. If you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, never expect yourself to be treated by the world any better than the way they treated him. Amen. And that's the way it's going to be. There's a spirit of Antichrist. That's why there's so much of opposition against the gospel, against men of God who are genuine. Remember, false ministers can go on doing their own thing. Where there is a church where the blood of Jesus Christ is not mentioned, there wouldn't be any persecution. Where there's a church where Jesus Christ is not mentioned as the only Savior, there wouldn't be any persecution. Where people say you can pray to any Tom, Dick, and Harry and still go to heaven, there won't be any persecution. But when one stands up and says there is one mediator between God and man, and that is Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. Then there is a problem. Are you with me? And I believe that problem is stirred up by the very spirit of Antichrist, which the Bible says is already in this earth. But it says there are many Antichrists. Amen. Many Antichrists are already in this earth. 1 John 2 says that. Many Antichrists. Now we're going to, I pray the Holy Spirit will help me through. We're going to deal with this message, John the Antichrist. Who is the Antichrist that the Bible speaks about? Some people think it is Saddam Hussein. Some people think it was Adolf Hitler. Well, they all, I believe, had a certain element of the spirit of Antichrist working in them, but they are not the Antichrist. Hallelujah. Amen. So let's open our Bibles to a scripture today, and I want to read two scriptures. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. Are you here this morning? Amen. We also have the prophetic word made more sure, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Amen. What I want to highlight is, we also have the prophetic word made more sure, which you do well to heed. Peter is writing under the anointing, and he's speaking about the prophetic word, which is so accurate. The Bible prophecy is called history written in advance. Hear me well. Bible prophecy is called history written in advance. Even about 800 to 1,000 years before Jesus came, the first time, Bible prophecy was speaking on where he would be born, who he would be born through, who his parents would be, who his great-grandparents would be, what his family genealogy would be, what his ministry would be, what would be the sermon that he would preach, where he would die, who would betray him, what would happen that day. All that was prophesied about 1,000 years even before Jesus came the first time. And it all happened right on spot, right on dot, not a date, not anything separating anything. Are you with me? Amen. Happened just as it was. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. That's when you read Micah chapter 5 where he was born. In Bethlehem, O Ephrat, Bethlehem, the smallest of cities, from you shall come the Messiah. Micah the prophet is prophesied. Isaiah 7:14, a virgin shall give birth to a child, and you shall name him Emmanuel, which is God with us. Whose mother would be? What the family genealogy would be like? Everything was mentioned just as it is, and it happened. Amen. How much more? Now Paul, Peter is writing in the anointing and says, we also have the prophetic word made more sure, which you do well to heed. And why does he say to the church to heed it? Because the 16th verse says something interesting. 2 Peter 1:16. Are you with me today?
Amen.
He says here, for we did not follow cunningly devised fables. Amen. I like that. People had to stand on the anointing and say, listen, we are not telling you a story. This is not a fable, this is not a fairy tale. This is not something that make believe. Are you with me? We did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His very majesty. Amen. Two things he said. He said, one, we are not telling you stories about His coming. Amen. It's not a make-up story. It's not something for you to make believe for some time or for a season. It's not a fable. And then he says, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty, but more than the eyewitness account that we have of Jesus Christ coming in the flesh the first time, if you take heed to the very prophetic word that is outlined here. Amen.
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 More than the fable, more than the eyewitness is saying, take heed. Take heed to the prophetic word which is made more sure. Amen. Until that day. Which what God is saying is, if you're gonna look to anything, look to the word. Amen. Now we're gonna deal with 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And I want somebody to read it. Second chapter of Thessalonians. 1 onwards. Read it.
Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together with Him, we ask you not to be shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by the word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition.
Amen. And the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. Underline that word. Now, the next word, fourth verse.
Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God.
Amen.
Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things, and now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And when the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming.
Amen. That's when he comes with the church. But here it says, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin or lawlessness is revealed, the son of perdition. And what does he do? He opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worship, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Amen. See, here are a couple of characteristics that is mentioned about the Antichrist. And I believe that will be the characteristics that will be working in the spirit of Antichrist and in the many Antichrists before the Antichrist is revealed. Amen? And one thing that's mentioned here is the man of lawlessness. Lawlessness. Can you imagine that? The man of lawlessness. Amen. Now open with me to 1 John chapter 4 or 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. Did you find that? Amen. Now read Matthew chapter 24 and verse 12. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Amen. He is called the man of lawlessness. And breaking the law or committing sin is called lawlessness. And in Matthew 24, speaking about the coming of Jesus, says, because lawlessness will abound, or because sin will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Can you imagine that? How is your heart this morning? Let's make it a little personal. How is your heart this morning before the Lord? The Bible says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. Have you reached the stage where you're so cold that you don't hunger and thirst for God anymore at all? Or are you in a place where you're really hungry and thirsty for the Lord? I used to give a description long time back when I used to give a crusade, and that was this. When you go to a doctor, we have a couple of doctors sitting here. When you go to a doctor, and if you say you're sick, the doctor will ask you, are you able to eat? And then he said, no. He said, amen. When you come into the church this morning, the Holy Ghost will ask you the same thing. The Lord will look at you and say, I'm very sick. You hear that? Because of lawlessness, the love of many will grow cold. So I strongly believe sin will look the most attractive before Jesus comes. You better hear well. Sin and the pleasures of sin will look so attractive. The world will look so seductive and so attractive. As a matter of fact, you will feel like a fool because you obey the word and follow the law. And the world will make you feel like that also. Because you say, listen, I won't do those things like you do because I follow the law. Amen. In these times, I was sitting to the Lord. I was sitting with the Lord and I was saying, Lord, give me a fresh hunger for you. A fresh thirst for you. Nothing else but you, Lord. I don't want lawlessness to have a hold over me. Amen. 1 Daniel chapter 1 verse 9. It says there, are you with me this morning, please? Amen. In the book of Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8 and 9, it says that Daniel is in Babylon. You remember that? Amen. Daniel is in Babylon. And when he's in Babylon for 70 years, from Jerusalem they're taken captive and they're in Babylon. And the king of Babylon is offering them the best of food and wine. But in Daniel chapter 1 and verses 7 to 9, Daniel is saying, I have purposed in my heart that I would not defile myself with anything of the king's delicacies. Amen. What is the Bible meaning by that? What the Bible is saying is, you are responsible for training up your appetites. Daniel, if you're going to be a man of God, you better do some purposing in your heart. But your appetites, no matter what kind of appetite it might be, will not wallow in lawlessness, but will be subject to the Holy Spirit. You're going to church in your heart. Amen. And I thank God for disciples and people in this place who will purpose in their hearts this morning, Lord, no matter what happens, let lawlessness increase across the world. Let the spirit of Antichrist have his way in the world, but will have nothing to do with me, for I am a disciple of yours and I want to follow you. I am committed to you. I want to walk in your word under the resurrection power of your Holy Spirit. Drying up your appetite like a Daniel. It says here, before one of the characteristics of Antichrist is that he's a spirit of lawlessness. Are you with me? And today what we have in the body of Christ is what we call emotional Christianity. I feel a love for the Lord. There's nothing in the Bible that says that you feel a love for him. The Lord says, if you love me, you obey my commandments. It's emotional, that's good, that's nice, right? Let that be. But that is to lead you to the opinions of the world. Amen. Otherwise, you are big, huge deception. You hear that? Two. It says here, on the characteristics of the Antichrist, the fourth verse, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worship, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. See, the Lord is saying, the Antichrist will want to exalt itself against Christ. Can you imagine that? You hear that? Amen. Can you imagine that? Lucifer in Isaiah 14 said, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above God. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Five times Lucifer in Isaiah 14 is saying, I will ascend, I will exalt myself. I want to go over the throne. If possible, I want to put God from his throne. And the spirit of Antichrist is the same attitude. The spirit of Antichrist wants to exalt itself against Christ. Now, a point of thought for some of you sitting in this place. Today we have gospel preachings where Jesus is not preached, but the saints and Mary are preached. Well, I shudder when I look at the scripture and look at what they are doing. No saint, no person, however holy and beautiful that person might be, can be placed together with Christ or above Christ. You hear that? It looks spiritual, it looks nice. But no one can take the place of Jesus Christ. He's the Son of God. See, when you are a minister of the gospel, one of the things that you need to learn is to give glory to God. You are not higher than the Lord. Your ministry is not important than the Lord. Are you with me? Malachi 2 and verse 1 and 2 and 6, because my people have not given me glory, when they bless the people, I will turn into a curse. Which means a man of God, if he does not give glory to God, and if he raises his hand and says, I bless you, it can actually become a curse over them. How many are with me still? In Psalm 61, it says, David is praying and he's saying, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. See, how many times have you seen that song? Lead me to the rock that is higher than. Not higher than high. But when you read the scripture, it says, higher than high. Are you with me? Higher than I. Lead me to the rock that is Christ. Higher than I. He's above me. He's fighting. He's God. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. So it says here, the Antichrist will oppose and two, will exalt itself against Christ. And let me tell you why I'm telling you the characteristics of an Antichrist is because we can keep ourselves. The Word of God warns us. We can keep ourselves. Amen? Amen. Three. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 9. Characteristic of an Antichrist. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. And lying wonders. And lying wonders. Can you imagine that? One of the See, many a time, maybe you have never thought about it, but in Revelation 21 it says, of the people who are found in hell, it says, all liars shall be cast into the lake of sulfur. Now one of the characteristics of the devil is that he is the liar. And the Bible calls him the father of lies. In other words, he only knows how to lie. Now we make it as a small sin, but it's not a small sin. Are you with me? I don't want anything of a Luciferian personality in me. Amen. Jesus is the truth. The devil is a liar. And the Bible says the enemy, the liar, the Antichrist shows lying wonders. See, if he has to show lying wonders, it means there is a genuine wonder and signs and miracles of God. Did you hear that? There is a genuine move of the Holy Spirit where true signs, wonders, and miracles takes place. How do you know? Where the gospel is preached, the gospel shall be confirmed with signs, wonders, and miracles. When the gospel is not preached, and when signs, wonders, and miracles takes place, let me tell you, it's a lying wonder. It's a lying wonder. Amen. I was in a place and a man of God was there. And he began to prophesy. And he began to say things. 1, 2, 3. Great. Wow, what an amazing gift. But he was doing all this prophesying and somewhere deep within my spirit, God told me, it's lying. So I kept silent. I met him a second time, same thing. Third time, And then I realized, he would ask other people about you. And they would say, okay, this guy is staying in such and such a place, he's got a nice house. And then he would come and prophesy, God shows me. Let me tell you, men of God, people who serve the gospel, let me tell you, it's a big deception. Never step into it because you have every chance of moving into an antichrist spirit. There are weeks in which that anointing is strong. When I know God shows me everything in this congregation, when God shows me, that's the time I purpose life, that's the time I cast out the devil, that's the time I speak a word of knowledge over someone. But there are weeks when God shows me nothing. But I don't get to a point where I say, listen, people are expecting, I need to do something, I need to deliver. No brother, no sister, I just get to the Bible and preach the word as it is. Are you with me? Lying wonders, lying signs. It means which the Antichrist will show everything in pretense. You remember the old covenant? Well, Moses put down the road. The magicians of Egypt also put down the road. It's also known as a snake. Amen. Moses was genuine. The other one was counterfeit. Hear that? It's the same way today. If you're going to ask God for any gift, ask Him for the gift of discerning of spirits. Any gift you want to covet, ask Him for the gift of discerning of spirits. Would you raise your hand and ask the Lord right now, Father, in the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Give us the gift of discerning of spirits in these times. Glory to the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Today, you know, liars are given different names. A man with a great personality who knows how to make a conversation. Are you with me? But David said in Psalm 51, "You desire, O Lord, truth in my heart." Amen. Truth in the heart. Truth. See, are you a liar? Do you lie? Is it a habit? There's one way out. Just repent. The blood of Jesus cleanses you from all sin. Amen. The fourth sign of the Antichrist. Are you enjoying this word today? Amen. In the Spirit of God working in your heart? Amen. The fourth, it says, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. In other words, the spirit of Antichrist is the spirit of rebellion. No wonder today wives can't be submissive to their husbands. Understand? The spirit of rebellion. Churches can't be submissive. Hear that? It's a characteristic mark of the Antichrist. Hallelujah. And there's one scripture in the scripture which actually shakes me up. I don't know whether I need to share it on a Sunday morning. It says in Numbers, the 13th, I think it's the 40th chapter, one word says, and Miriam left the camp leprous. And Miriam left the camp leprous. Why? She just rose up against the authority of Moses. Can God only speak with Moses? Can God speak with us? God can speak with anyone. That's not the issue here. The issue was Moses was God's appointed man over. That was the issue. The issue was not whether God can speak to anyone. Are you with me? God can speak to anyone. But that doesn't give you a right to rise up against leadership. Your husband might not be as smart as you are, but stay submissive. Are you with me? As a matter of fact, let me tell you, after you get married, your place is with your husband. Hear that? Not in your father's house, not in your mother's place. Your place, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall be one. Today, people might have to do that. Get into meeting point, you're under it. Let me tell you, the Spirit of God convicts you and give you a change of heart. Amen. Hear that? Rebellion. I don't think you're enjoying the word like you were enjoying before. We just want to hear about the Antichrist. We don't want anything about that. Well, I don't want you to be walking in the spirit of Antichrist, that's all. Yeah. Now we're going to deal with, these are some of the characteristics of the Antichrist. Let's look to Revelation chapter 13. And verses 11 to 18. Can somebody read for me, please?
Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence, and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. He performs great signs, so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast, who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should speak, and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark of the name of the beast, or the name or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. Its number is 666.
Amen. Hallelujah. This mentioning about the Antichrist. Now you need to understand something here. Just like we worship a God who is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Bible speaks about the enemy, the devil, being a counterfeiter. Are you with me? The devil counterfeits everything that God does. And he is God, what we call a counterfeit trinity. Hear that? There is a counterfeit trinity that's working in the heavenlies. And the counterfeit trinity is this. In Revelation 20 and verse 20, it speaks about the dragon. Dragon. The great serpent or the dragon. It speaks about the devil himself, Satan. Are you with me? Huh? Now he is anti-God. Are you with me? He is anti-God. He is against the Heavenly Father. Now there in the scripture that you just read in Revelation 13, 1 to 10, it speaks about what we call the beast. And that's the word that is given for the Antichrist. Are you with me? He is Antichrist. Why? Because he doesn't like Jesus Christ. That's the reason. Amen. Antichrist. Amen. Antichrist. Antichrist. That's Revelation 13, the beast. Now, in Revelation 13, 11 and 12, it speaks about another beast, and that is called, or it is mentioned as the false prophet. The false prophet. The false prophet is what we call anti-Holy Spirit. Are you with me? Amen. Amen. How many of you understanding? I don't know if you're still here. You getting it? What I'm trying to do is there is a counterfeit trinity. Just like we have a Father, a Son, and the Holy Spirit, there is a counterfeit trinity of anti-God, that is dragon. There is anti-Christ, the beast. And there is the false prophet, that is the anti-Holy Spirit. Amen. And just like the Holy Spirit of God is the one who performs signs and wonders and miracles to draw you and me unto Jesus Christ, it is the false prophet who will do signs, wonders and miracles to draw you to the Antichrist. Come on.
Amen.
Huh? Get it? Now how do we know, or how do we understand what it means? Or let's look to Matthew chapter 24. Let's look at the difference of the Antichrist, or the beast and the false prophet. Matthew 24. We're dealing with some mighty truths here today. 24th verse, 24th chapter. For false Christ and false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders so as to deceive, if possible, even the elect. So there are false Christ and there are false prophets. Two different things. Are you with me? Both are not the same. There are false Christ and false prophets. And they do great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, the elect. That's why you need to have a place where you are taught the word here. You can be guided by truth. Amen. Hallelujah. It's a little too deep, but I don't have to push in and go on to the next one. I feel a strong anointing upon me. And that is, I believe God's fire upon me to just protect me from the evil principles working around. When you deal with a subject like this, the devil doesn't like it. Do you know that? It's no joke. It's no funny. It's a spiritual battle that goes on. That's why I said you need to be in prayer. There's a battle in the heavenlies. The Antichrist is a murdering spirit. Wants to finish off God's people so that the truth is not exposed. And he's not exposed because his time is short. This time you need to pray in the spirit. To pray and listen to the word so God can reveal the truth and set you free and make you whole and complete and make you in Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's see if we can get into this number called 666. What the Bible means by that. Are you interested? Ooh, hallelujah. Would you lift your hand and pray in the Holy Ghost for something? The mighty Jesus. Hallelujah. Keep your hands lifted up. Amen. Be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. So we come back to the message. You still here? The counterfeit Trinity, Antichrist, that's the dragon, Antichrist, that's the beast, and the false prophet being the anti-Holy Spirit. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now when we say that Satan is the counterfeit, the Antichrist is the one who counterfeits everything of Christ. Let's look at a couple of scriptures to see how the enemy counterfeits whatever the Lord is. Are you interested?
Amen.
Amen. When in John chapter 10 and verse 1 it says that Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. Say good shepherd. When Zechariah 11 and verses 15 to 17, the Bible says the Antichrist is what we call the false shepherd. Amen? Or the foolish shepherd. Amen? Aren't you glad that you are not walking after the foolish shepherd, but you are walking after the good shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ? Amen? He is the good shepherd. In Zechariah 11, the Antichrist is counterfeiting them and calling himself a shepherd, and the Bible calls him a foolish shepherd. Amen? Hallelujah. When in 1 Corinthians 10:21, the Bible says, when we come before the table of the Lord, that's speaking about the Lord's table. Amen. So Jesus Christ is a table. Amen. We were looking back to the cross, and we are looking forward to the crown or the throne where we shall receive from the Lord. But in between the cross and the crown, there is the table of the Lord. Amen. Amen. That's what believers. Amen. We come before the Lord's table, washed in His blood, separated by baptism. We come together before the Lord's table once every month. Amen. Now the devil has got a counterfeit for that. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 21 it says, the table of demons. Amen. So the Antichrist has got a table and he calls himself the owner of a table. Amen. Then I go to the Lord and I say, I'm going to go to Urbana.
Are you smiling? I like it.
Praise God. The Bible calls it the table of demons. Satan and the counterfeit. Jesus Christ has got a church. That's his body. Amen. The Bible says, He Himself shall build His church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Well, the Bible calls in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 9, and 3 and verse 9, there is a church of the Antichrist called the synagogue of Satan. Are you with me? The enemy is counterfeiting everything that Jesus Christ is doing. Are you understanding this?
Amen.
Amen. The enemy is saying, we also have a synagogue, we also have a church. I'm just going to America. Amen. Are you with me? Some people say, let me tell you, that's not the issue here. Even when Paul is writing under the anointing of God, he's saying, we have a synagogue of Satan here. But John is writing under the anointing, he's saying, we have a synagogue of Satan here right now. Amen. I am not going to be able to do it. Originality and election of Allah. Are you with me? The real church is taught by the word of God. Amen. We will deal with that later. But I'm just speaking about the real and the counterfeit. I hope you still love me after all this, but I can preach the word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. So the good shepherd is Jesus, the foolish shepherd is the Antichrist. The Lord's table is there, and there is a false table also called the table of demons in 1 Corinthians 10:21. It speaks about the church of Jesus Christ, and the devil is calling himself the synagogue of Satan. Amen. In Revelation 19 and verse 7, the Bible says, we are the bride of Christ. You believe that?
Yeah.
Amen. And the Bible says in Revelation 17, verses 4 and 5, the devil is calling himself or his followers as the mystery Babylon, the bride of the Antichrist. Are you with me? I'm speaking very scriptural here, but very practical and very experiential. I know there is a genuine synagogue of Satan, a satanic church, right here in Kerala, right across the valley, where they have a human altar. They have sacrifices there, and they worship the devil. So in these times that we are living in, all this is there right now. Amen. So that's why I said, let's not give heed to fables, nor even to an eyewitness account, but let us hold on or take heed to the prophetic word of God. This word is what protects you, keeps you. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. In John 14 and verse 6, it speaks about Jesus Christ saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one goes to the Father except through me. Amen. No one goes to the Father. That's what Jesus said. So the Lord, Jesus is saying, listen, I've got a Father. I is my Abba. Amen. And the devil is saying the same thing. In John 8:44, he said, the Father of lies. Amen. Everything is counterfeiting. The devil is called a father. Now we will look at that from a scriptural point of view, what it means. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Now did you understand that part? The characteristics of the Antichrist. How we dealt with the counterfeit, how the Antichrist counterfeits everything that Jesus Christ is. Can you imagine even the preciousness of Him being the Good Shepherd? Him being the place where we come together to partake of Him and be the Lord's table? The very church, the body of Christ, the enemy counterfeits everything. Are you with me? That's why you and me, we need the gift of discerning of spirit. Let me tell you again and again, just don't listen to a message and go off. But let the word of God work within you. Amen. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, that because people despised the truth and held on to the lie, they have been taken captive by it. You should say, Lord, no matter how hard the truth is to force solo, I receive your truth. Amen. You know, I remember the first time when I was just a nice, good believer. Nice, good believer in the sense, you know, that sweet, innocent walk with God. What we call the honeymoon experience with God. You pray, the sweet prayer, the sweet lullaby of tongues. That kind of tongue, you know, that nice, sweet worship. Everything is so innocent, everything is so wonderful. We look at each other, smile, everything is so good. After the prayer meeting, you can have some complaints and some chicken, spend time. When you have a need, somebody scratches your back and prays for you. So nice, so sweet. And I like it that way. But then suddenly, the Lord began to deal with me and the assumption I began to open. Let me tell you, I closed my door. I was too scared to hold on to that truth. Because I was not willing to change. Because I'm happy where I am with my spirituality. I don't want this truth to comfort me. But then I said, Lord, I need grace. I need to stay open. Stay teaching. And still see. When I began to do that, the truth not only began to set me free, but as it began to set me free, I began to enjoy it. Amen. A holy confidence, a holy boldness, holy grace be flowing to me. Let me tell you, when you listen to this message, the same thing goes through. When we deal with this subject, let me tell you, the Son of God manifest in the world will begin to break the bondages, reveal truth, and the enemy's deceptions will begin to disappear. Suddenly you can understand that whatever has been controlling you through the spirit of Antichrist becomes broken under the anointing of God. And you are liberated to be more Christ-like. The only purpose of this word and this preaching is to make you aware of the truth so that you can stay faithful to the Lord and walk with Him. Amen. We are not waiting for the Antichrist to be revealed. We are waiting for Jesus Christ to come in the heavens to take us to be with Him. You hear that? Amen. Hallelujah. So I think we need to wait one more week to get into the 666. Hallelujah. Stay teachable. Amen. Stay open. Stay focused on the Lord. Amen. And you will see the hand of God coming upon you. This message is not to condemn, but rather to set you free. Amen. Are you with me? It's to liberate you. It's to make you more like Jesus and walk with Him. Amen. Lift your hand and bless the Lord for some time that God has His way in your life.